Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Time for Health podcast with me, Lewis Pearce, and my lovely as ever co-host, Matthew Long. How are you, Matt? You all right?
Good morning, Lewis. Yes, lovely, bright and chirpy this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, nice and early. Your side of the world, isn't it, mate?
Yes, 0700.
Yeah. However, we have a guest speaker, a guest expert on the show today, and she's got a nice time to be on here. 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Kate Boyle, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Lewis and Matt. It's great to be here.
Good afternoon. Kate, just tell us where you're from and where you are right now.
I'm in Melbourne, Australia. So we are currently in stage 4 lockdown, which means we are under curfew, we are stuck at home, and we can't leave more than 5 kilometres from our house. So fun times for us at the minute.
Oh, they had a spike of it lately in there.
Yes, we have, but not compared to the rest of the world. So our cases are up at sort of 300 a day, which is not a lot, but they're trying to bring it in and under control so it we can sort of stamp it out before it kind of gets way out there.
Yeah. Yes. Probably what the UK should have done was be a bit more proactive in hindsight, maybe. I think I follow a few influencers that are from Australia, and they seem to, it seems like Australia's doing okay with overall cases and overall deaths and everything like that, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, they have managed it pretty well. We've been in lockdown for quite a while now, so people are getting a little bit antsy, but hopefully the end is near in September. So let's hope that the case numbers stay low and we can all get back to our life as normal.
Yeah. Just to let our audience know, today what we're recording is the 18th of August. So if you listen to this in later on, you'll know what stage we are at in the different countries in different stages of lockdown. So if you listen to this in 6 months' time, don't worry, we're not in lockdown then. Well, we might not be. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. Something's gone really bad.
Fingers crossed.
You never know, dear. You never know.
Yeah. Anyway, so, Kate, tell us a little bit about yourself so the audience listening or watching know what it is that you do, your area of expertise, and then we can take things from there.
No worries. I'm a nutritionist and a Pilates instructor. So I delve into helping people with their bodies, both inside and out, with nutrition and movement. I am a previous ex-dancer, and I also have my degree in teaching classical ballet, and I also teach the gyrotonic method movement. So that's another form of movement that includes a lot more spiraling in comparison to Pilates. So I do a lot of different rehab techniques with my clients, and then with the nutrition side, I just delve in and help them with their diet and their lifestyle and a little bit of overall, you know, improving health and fitness in general.
Awesome. So the main topic of discussion today, which we decided on in our bit of a pre-chat, was lower back pain. And that's an area of expertise that you use your methodology to help people with that injury, as well as others specifically, but primarily back pain. Is that right?
Yes. So the majority of clients that I would see come in a studio come in for some sort of rehab help. And generally it's, you know, either just discomfort in the lower back, it might be disc bulges, disc herniations, there's a whole lot of different issues. Or they could just be coming in, you know, they've been referred by their doctor because they need to get a little bit more movement and they've just got a little bit of pain just starting to creep in. But I think as we, most of us know, most of us have had back pain at some point in our lives. So it is a very common thing, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, definitely. So someone comes to you with back pain, and like you said, pretty much everyone has had back pain in some degree, whether it's lower back or upper back or whatever. What would you say then, Kate, are the main influencing factors or contributors to lower back pain?
One of the main ones that I see just within my work is, I guess most of us, or not me particularly, but most people sit at a desk for the majority of the day working. So they're sitting down for long periods of time. They're not getting up and moving those joints. So they do become a lot tighter around the hips and the lower back. Also in that sitting position, you know, we'll start nice and tall, sitting up tall, core engaged, and within, you know, a short period of time, we're sort of slumping back or our head's dropping forward looking at the screen. So a lot of it comes back to sitting for long periods, but also a lot of people aren't probably moving as functionally as they could be. So things like squatting down and, you know, taking the stairs and those sort of everyday functional movements that we used to do a lot of, but now we've got so many modern day conveniences that, you know, we don't need to do all those things, that they become hard. And then people sort of go, oh, that's a bit too hard, I'll avoid that. So everyday movements and then sitting for long periods of time generally tend to be the main things that I see.
Yeah, I totally agree with that there, Kate. One of the things I've noticed, when lockdown happened, and a lot of people were sat at home, and even if they were working at home, their desk posture was totally different and probably not set up correctly. And the fact that a lot of people were then sitting around doing nothing, lack of mobility, I was getting a lot of phone calls about lower back pain. And I always get a spike at Christmas as well, when people usually take about 2 weeks off and they're sat around eating, drinking, not moving. And I get another spike of lower back pain. And it all comes down to that that just movement, isn't it?
And it doesn't need to be a lot of it, but it does need to happen. And the same thing with me, I'll often get clients come back from holiday and they've got lower back pain. And they'll be like, but I've been on holiday. And I'm like, yeah, but you've been sitting by the pool and relaxing and probably not doing. So, yeah, I can definitely relate to that. There's with
plastic
sun
loungers. not
good for the back.
No.
Yeah, the back pain that I'm getting at the moment, I think I put that down to lockdown and not being able to be as active during lockdown. Because now that I'm actually training more, I think it's aggravating it more because it's a little bit deconditioned from like the 10 years of bodybuilder training, you know, weight training and stuff prior to that. So, I'm definitely going to have to see someone about my lower back pain. But Matt, just quickly, mate, I don't think your mic is plugged in properly. It was selecting the right mic.
All right, okay. Let's see what's
going on.
Sounds
a bit amateur, mate.
Nothing new there.
I was just going to say, I've got quite a few clients that I've been teaching online during lockdown, and their biggest complaint too is that they really enjoy working at home because they don't have the travel time, but they're finding that they're sitting even more than usual because they don't have that commute to work where they have to walk to the office and they're not walking to get up to go grab lunch and to go to a meeting and all the rest of it. So they're spending even longer sitting down at home. So yeah, there's definitely been an increase in lower back pain with lockdown as well.
Yeah. So it's safe to say that it's generally down to a less active lifestyle, isn't it?
100%. Like, you know, you don't want to say it, but yes, it is coming down to not moving enough and probably not being, you know, if we are sitting for long periods, we don't sort of think about our posture. We do at the start, and just having that postural awareness can really help us as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the sitting down thing, I see a lot of in my clinic, for office workers, where their hip flexors become shortened and tight, and they stand up and they stand up like an old person and they can't straighten up straight away. And releasing off the hip flexors, the psoas muscle is a big one as well, is sometimes something they need to do regularly. And just getting up out of the desk every 20 minutes, half an hour, and just walking around the desk and sitting back down again might be enough to stop them from shortening and tightening so much that they get that lower back pain.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got my clients that come in that do a lot of either, so to say, truck drivers or people that are in their car often for long periods as well. I just give them a couple of stretches that just take 2 minutes. So whenever they've got a break, they can just stand up, do a quad stretch, do a glute stretch, and just try to release some of that tightness off around the hips and the lower back. And that just helps. Even if it's just a couple of minutes, a couple of times a day, it still makes a big difference.
Something that me and Matt have talked about on a previous show about where we tackled injuries and primarily back pain is that I think there's a common misconception that if you have a lower back pain, it's because you've got a weak core. And I've heard this from clients that have come to me that have said, oh, I've been told by my doctor or by my personal trainer or whatever that I need to do more core exercises. That's why my back hurts. But we've already just said that your back's hurting because of your lifestyle, because of your posture and things like that. What's your take on the whole weak core means lower back pain?
For sure. I've had a lot of people that often correlate it with a weak core. It's not always the case. Quite a few of my athletes over-engage. So they get really tight from all the work that they do training, and it's everything. It's sort of like they need just a little bit of that release work to bring it back into balance. So sometimes you can have a really great strong core, but the muscles are just too tight and too strong, and it's bringing in that flexibility and that balance as well that can help. And also just making sure too that they may have a strong core, but because our core is made up of our abdominal muscles and our pelvic floor and, you know, our multifidus and our back, you know, it's more than just thinking of your, you know, your abs at the front and even your diaphragm with your breathing. They might have strong abdominals, but, you know, they might be clamping down on their breathing, or they might not be engaging their pelvic floor. So they might be just missing that one part of the core or the muscles that complete the core. So I think with, you know, even educating my clients to think of the core being more than just, you know, your six pack muscle, your rectus along the front, that's a big thing. And that just sort of makes them think about it a little bit more, that it is about full body movement, not just thinking about their abs.
Yeah. I definitely think that it's a, if someone goes to the doctor and says, I've got lower back pain, which is probably a very common thing that GPs see, not bashing GPs here, but they probably don't have the knowledge required to actually properly diagnose the actual reason why someone's back's hurting. Like you said, it could be quite a complex issue. It could be down to posture, it could be down to your lifestyle, it could be down to a strong core, it could be down to you not actually engaging the areas of the core properly. So yeah, I definitely think that it's something that people need to kind of understand, that it probably isn't your core, and there's probably something that's, you know, a more underlying issue that's probably slightly easier to fix than you trying to hold a plank for 10 minutes a day for the next 30 days or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I often get quite a few people that are coming in with SIJ pain, so sacroiliac joint right at the base of that spine, and they've got really great cores, but they don't have any glutes to speak of. So, you know, we have to work and start to build up that glute strength in balance with the core strength. Or they could be really clamping down on their core and overworking it and not utilizing their glute muscles, say, in their planks. So again, it's just retraining the movement and bringing awareness back to our posture and back to our postural muscles. So those smaller muscles that we do need to be aware of, rather than just using our big global muscles all the time, like our quads and our glutes and that. So yeah, it does make a big difference with the core as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I find just movement, just functional movement, is one of the best things for lower back pain. Gone are the days where, you know, you used to take a week off work and lie on a plank to help your back if you'd pulled it out. You know, it's about just keeping mobile, keeping active, but not necessarily overactive if you've hurt yourself, but just keeping everything moving, and just, you know, plenty of short walks during the day if you have pulled your back out will start to ease it off, keeping that movement and that mobility going. And yeah, I mean, we're naturally lazy creatures as human beings, aren't we? So, you know, you sit in a chair for too long, you're going to end up slumping. You know, we were designed at a basic level to conserve energy. So we don't want to waste energy when we don't need to, because we naturally want to conserve energies. But we've got to find that balance between movement and our natural laziness to keep ourselves functioning and working properly.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'll often have clients that will call me up. So they're booked in for class and they'll ring me and say, I've just tweaked my back, or my back's, you know, I've bent over and I've just hurt my back. You know, I just need to lie down and not do anything for a few days. And I sort of just have to sort of say to them, that's the worst thing you can do. You know, if you can get past, and, you know, if the pain's not too acute, then the best thing you can do is just starting to do some gentle movement. And if you feel up for it, come into class, because I can just help you move gently, do some stretches, and just sort of get the muscles re-switching back on. So when I've had clients that have had even just severe back pain, I teach them how to sit down in a chair and stand back up again. So making sure that they are getting their posture in the right position, that they're not, you know, staying too far back. And even just when they're in that seated posture, teaching them where their position should be, right in the center of those sit bones, and not feeling like they're sort of leaning forward too much or leaning back in the chair. So even just some of those basics is good just to bring back to the forefront of the mind, because we all think, oh, we know how to sit, you know, but when your body's in pain, it will do different things.
Yeah. I mean, is this something that you could describe for people who are listening, or is this something you'd have to show people?
No. So basically, when we're just talking through, like, yeah, if I'm re-educating a client just to learn how, say they've come in, you know, and they're probably not standing up quite straight either because they've got that lower back pain, you know, in the studio that's just at the right height. So we want to be looking for a chair that you can sit into where your hips are going to be slightly higher than your knees. So that's an important point when you're going to sit down. You don't want to be sitting too low, so it is comfortable. But making sure your feet are hip width apart, that your knees are tracking straight ahead. So we don't want the knees dropping in and together. So again, just getting that nice balance position and the weight nice and even through both feet. Because more often than not, we'll probably find we're either a little bit tipped to one side or too far forward onto our toes. So finding that nice center. And then from there, I teach them how to just gently really bend the knees. So a lot of us just sort of want to hinge back rather than bending those knees and reaching the bottom down. And you'll be able to feel your sit bones. So if you sat on your hands, you've got two bony landmarks there on your bottom. You want to feel those bones connect to the chair. And then you want to bring your torso back so that you're sitting right in the center of those sit bones. So I hope everybody at home is practicing sitting down now and feeling those sit bones in underneath. Then from there, we lean the chest forward. We press down evenly through the feet and we make sure we get that glute activation and gentle core activation to stand all the way up. So it sounds, you know, sitting down, standing up sounds quite simple, but, you know, there is a lot going on and we kind of take it for granted until we injure ourselves and then realize sitting down and getting up is quite hard to do.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, again, teaching people how to do it properly will hopefully allow them to maintain some mobility, even through pain.
For sure. And especially for a lot of my older clients too, as they may start to lose some of their muscle mass or even their bone density, these simple sort of movements of sitting down and standing up can really make a big difference to help prevent falls and to help prevent that loss of that muscle mass that they really need for their balance as well.
Yeah. There's no coincidence that older members of society generally decline quicker when they become less active. You know, if they, for whatever reason, they have to stay and sit in a chair and they can't get out of the house or whatever, they generally will, I've seen it with my own family members, their health will decline pretty rapidly just because they're not doing those fundamental things of walking and standing up and carrying stuff, you know, with obviously the correct posture and all that sort of thing. So I think a mistake that a lot of people make is they overcomplicate, oh, I've got back pain, oh, I need a specific core workout to make my back better. But it just comes down to being more active, being aware of your posture, and just making sure that you're actually using your body the way it's meant to be used and not just sitting on your ass all day and then wondering why your back's in the clip after a week. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Sure. Can you come and tell some of my clients like that? I'm sure they'd appreciate it.
Well, hopefully they'll listen to the podcast when it comes out.
Yeah, that's it. I'll direct them and say, make sure you want to listen to what Lewis says and how he says it, because that's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
You don't have to make exercise too complicated. And I think that's where people often get stuck. They do think that they, you know, they have to pay for that gym membership and they have to start lifting weights and it has to be an hour workout. And, you know, they kind of get these sort of maybe preconceived ideas in their head, but it's not necessarily a case. You can just do great movements at home, just adding in things like squats and lunges and making sure that you can bend down to the floor and reach up and do some, you know, rotational work. It's quite easy to do, but it's just finding what you enjoy as well. So yeah,
that's a big
different
one,
for everybody.
Yeah,
but keeping it simple.
All the same with weight loss. Oh, I want the best fat-burning workout. Someone messaged me the other day saying, Lewis, I've started Couch to 5K, Zumba, yoga, and I'm doing legs, bums, and tums. I was like, you need to bloody chill out, mate. Do you actually enjoy any of that? I was like, the chances are you'll stop doing half of that by the end of the week, probably. And that's the thing with exercise. It's not, you know, designed to transform your physique overnight. It's designed to be an enjoyable way for you to be active, isn't it? That's the sole purpose of what exercise is, whether that's weight training, deadlifting, powerlifting, swimming, walking, or in Matt's case, kayaking. It doesn't matter what it is, does it? As long as you're doing something that you enjoy to be more active, there's no magical workout that turns you into a superhuman beast, that's is there?
You're right. I think if you can find something you enjoy doing, you're going to keep doing it. And it's that consistency that allows you to achieve your goals. we've talked about things like consistency many times, and just enjoying your exercise and your you know, and looking forward to doing it. And if you enjoy it, you're going to be, it's going to be so much better for your mental health as well as your physical health, because you get that nice release of endorphins, you get that satisfaction of achieving your routine, whatever you do for exercise. And yeah, we've got to enjoy it to do it. Because otherwise, yeah, you'll hate it.
Definitely. And I mean, for some people, you can use it as a bit of time out for yourself, or you can use it as a catch up with friends if that's going to make it more enjoyable. So what's nice is, you know, we do have a bit of a Pilates community, and I have people that have been in the same class for 10 years, and they're such great friends that they look forward to coming to class because they have that connection with other people as well. So I think that's a great part of it, you know, that you can build into your exercise, or you can just use it as a bit of time out. But I also say to my clients that, yes, exercise is great, but don't underestimate just the idea of movement. So it doesn't have to be exercise as such to give you benefits. You can just be moving, walking, squatting, you know, twisting, all that sort of stuff is going to add up at the end of the day and help your body and help prevent back pain. So add that in when they can.
Yeah. Just something I'd like to touch on with Pilates. There are a lot of misconceptions about Pilates, and that it's only for women, that kind of thing, because it is, it does look like a quite a gentle exercise class. But I found when I was in the military and I injured myself and I went on a 3-week rehabilitation program, that they introduced one or two classes a day of Pilates as part of the rehab. And it was hard. It was a sweating session, 40 minutes, hard exercise. So not only do I understand that Pilates is a great preventative measure for all sorts of aches and pains and injuries that you might get if you're whatever level of fitness that you do, but also is very, very good for rehab, building up the strength where you may have weaknesses. It's a whole body workout without really using any weights or anything. It's a great form of exercise.
Yeah, and I mean, I spent a lot of my early years obviously dancing and participating in triathlons and, you know, doing long running and all the rest of it. And I always say to my clients, Pilates is what held my body together. So it was the balance of all those other activities, because it gave me that body awareness. It gave me my awareness of connecting and utilizing my breath. So it actually helped me improve performance. And even when I was injured, I was then able to rehab myself, which is what I do for my clients when they come in. And I get a lot of clients that may have been referred to me. They've had a hip replacement or a knee replacement. And once they finish their, you know, course of physio at the hospital, they kind of don't know what to do. And, you know, somebody ends up referring them to Pilates. And once they sort of find it, we can continue that rehab. So it's definitely fantastic for rehab. And with my athletes and, you know, my fit clients, I can work them really hard, okay, which is quite fun for me as an instructor, but also great for them because they can use it as a form of cross training for their other activities. So yeah, I can make class really gentle. You know, my eldest client is 91. And she comes in and, you know, we're moving to really work on her balance, but, you know, I'm not going to load her up with lots of heavy springs because functionally that's not what she needs at this point in her life. So the great thing is you can really tailor it to who's you're working with. And I really enjoy that aspect of it myself when I'm teaching.
So do you do classes for groups or do you do individual one-on-one?
I do a mix. So yeah, I do one-on-ones, and then I also do a maximum of our classes have 4 people, but the 4 people in them do individualized exercises. So when they first start, they'll come in, we'll do a postural assessment, we'll go through their injury history and their goals, and we'll design a program that's really going to help them strengthen or gain flexibility and work towards those goals. So it is very individualized, which is not the case with all studios. Some studios just do group classes, like a gym class, and there's obviously still benefits from that, but I really enjoy having that individualized approach because we are all different and we do all have different injuries and working towards different goals. So it is very rewarding.
Definitely. So the people that are listening, Kate, they're probably thinking, yeah, my back is absolutely buggered. I spent a lot of lockdown, sat on my ass, eating lots of food, and maybe putting a bit of weight. I'm working from home more now. What would you, just so they've got complete clarity on what they should be doing to kind of start addressing those lower back pain issues, or maybe if they haven't got any, being proactive, what would you say are a handful of tips or things that they should introduce into their routine of the day to kind of keep that lower back pain in check? If, does that make sense?
So if they're in, you know, acute pain and it is quite present, you know, a heat pack doesn't go astray. And if you have a massage ball at home, you know, depending on what stage you are in lockdown, because I know we can't actually see massage therapists and osteos and chiropractors at the minute. So a massage ball can be really helpful just to get into some of those tight spots and those trigger points. And then from there, just starting with some gentle stretches. So, you know, looking at your figure four glute stretch, potentially your piriformis stretch as well, getting those hamstrings released and then the quads at the front. So you can Google all those stretches and pictures will pop up and show you. But they're four good ones just to sort of get started with. And then as we were discussing before, just starting to add in some gentle movement. And then, you know, you can jump on to YouTube and that. There's plenty of sort of Pilates workouts, but just seeking one that's, I guess, more for beginners. So Pilates Anytime is a great one. They've got lots of workouts. They've got free workouts too that you can find, and they're really reputable as well, because I guess that's the thing with the internet. You don't always know how qualified people are. So I always say to my clients, you know, just make sure you check out their credentials before, you know, partaking in exercises. And then probably finally, just listening to your body. So if you're in pain and it's causing pain, stop, rest, listen to it, or modify the exercise if you need to. But there are a few good things just to start to get you moving or keep moving whilst you're at home.
Awesome. I think I might give Pilates a go, you know. I'm intrigued. I tried yoga once and, yeah, I was kicked up the arse by a yoga workout from YouTube, so I may give Pilates a go and see how much of my arse can be kicked by that.
Yeah, well, it's quite different. Everyone assumes that yoga is the same as Pilates. Like, oh, it's just the same. It's a lot of stretching. But we do have a lot more like of a core focus within Pilates. We do have a focus on breathing the same as yoga, but we definitely do a lot more strength work and moving through more sort of, I guess, functional positions rather than holding. Yoga tends to have a lot more holding of different poses. So, yeah. Quite different.
I'd concur because I have tried both.
Which one do you prefer, Matt?
I would say Pilates. And I'm not just saying that because lovely Katie's here. I think the static holding poses for me in yoga were quite detrimental to my arthritis in my knee, holding certain positions. It just didn't like it. Whereas Pilates, like you say, is much more functional movement and my knee could cope with that a lot better. So, yeah. And when I went through, like I mentioned about the rehab, I don't ever remember anything in the Pilates that felt like it was making me worse, which is always a good sign. So, yeah, loved and hated the workouts with Pilates because they were hard. And the instructor we had was really putting us through our paces. And like you said, listening to your body, because we had a various different injuries in the rehab class that we were doing, so not everyone could do all the exercises, so it was a matter of tweaking it per individual and giving them an exercise or an alternative movement to do that they could cope with without making themselves worse. So yeah, it was very, very good. Did enjoy it.
Awesome. So there we have it, some tips for people that are struggling with a bit of back pain, maybe want to, haven't got back pain but are now more aware that they could potentially get it and can start leading a lifestyle that's a bit more proactive in addressing those potential back issues. Kate, it's been an absolute pleasure to pick your brains today and get an insight into the real issues around back pain and how we can start to address it. So thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, Kate, no, just tell us where people can find you.
Oh, my, you can find my on my website, which is www.mindmovementhealth.com.au. I'm on Facebook at Mind and Movement Pilates, and I'm on Instagram at Mind Movement Health and Pilates.
That was great. Love it. Awesome. That was really good. Really good informative chat, Kate. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Awesome. Yeah, everyone that's listening, the information that you need, links to Kate's socials and website, everything like that, is all going to be inside of the show notes. You can go, don't worry about taking note of that. You can just go into there, and all the links that you need will be in there. Again, thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks, Kate, Matt.
Thanks, Kate. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for having me on.
Bye.
See ya.